This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by Digital Media.
Hey guys, awesome episode today. We talk about labels on relationships and a guy who got cheated on by his wife. Check it out. Share this with friends. Enjoy. Jared Freed coming to you live from New York City's Upper West Side, Stand Up New York Labs, here every Tuesday and Friday with your emails, your stories, your questions. I say it every episode. I gotta say it again. Thank you for listening. Thank you for getting involved with this podcast. I love doing it, and it feathers my nuts that you guys love listening to it. So really, I love it. Thank you for listening, and please, let's take out the feather out of the closet. Let's get that 12-foot feather out of the closet. I'll knock on it. Take it out. And I want you to feather my nuts by telling one friend about this podcast. Spread the word. Give it out. Give, you know, we're coming to Thanksgiving. Give the gift of Papa JT to a friend, a brother, a sister, a mother, a father. Give it out. Talk about it at Thanksgiving dinner. Maybe your parents are Trump people and you're not a Trump person and you're like, what the fuck are we going to talk about? Let's talk about feathering Papa Jared J Train's nuts. Yo, I know this guy who has a podcast. You got long car rides, Cousin Phil. Why don't you get your feathers out and just take it along the seam of this 31-year-old nuts? Get somebody involved. We're growing every week. The numbers keep getting bigger, and I want to thank you and also keep encouraging you to do that. I'm on Snapchat. It's very cool when you snap me where you're listening from. I said this last episode. It's all over the world. It's crazy, and it's unbelievable. So I'm JTrain56 on Snapchat, so you can keep sending me their snaps of where you're listening, how you're listening, and what you're doing. Very cool for me. I'm super pumped about today's guest because he's a buddy of mine. And he's one of the funniest people in the world. Like, he is so funny, and you all have to get on board. John Lasseter, thank you for coming on.
Oh, man, thanks for having me, man.
It's been a long time coming. I'm so pumped to have you here.
Yo, it's an honor to be here, man.
Dude.
Honor to be here,
man. We spent a lot of long nights together.
Oh, yeah.
Feathering one another's nuts.
Yeah. No homo.
No homo.
How do you say no homo after that?
No, it's yes homo. It's please homo. So, no, you guys all need to get on board with John. He's on Instagram. And you got to follow him on Instagram, at He Was Funny.
He Was Funny. Everybody can spell that.
Yeah.
He Was Funny.
What an Instagram name.
Yeah, man.
At He Was Funny.
Because everybody fucks up your name when you try to make it your name. So you try to make it something that everybody can spell anyway. You know what I mean?
It's one of those things that, like, say correcting someone on your name is both douchey and not douchey at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, I remember getting up at open mics. And, like you'd be, like, a month into comedy.
Yeah.
And there'd be some, like, kid who, like, absolutely went to, like... Like, you could just see the type of person that was, like... He would get on stage, they'd announce his name, and they'd fuck it up. And then he'd get on stage and be like... Oh, you know, my name... And then
right.
Try to spend the first minute of the
correcting
5 minutes...
It.
Correcting it.
Right.
Of the 5 minutes he spent money on.
As if anyone cared.
As if anyone gave a shit.
No one gave a rat's ass.
Listen, yeah, and it's like... I've gotten called fried more times than I can believe.
Oh,
and whatever.
Totally.
I just go with it.
I've been everything, man. Not to mention John. Everybody, I think, like, your default setting is to put an H in it. So people
might... J-O-H-N. Well, J-O-N is the Jewish way to spell it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So people always fuck that up. And then Laster, man, people turn it into Lassiter, Laughter. I was Laughter on a college campus, John Laughter. And I was like, maybe I should keep that corny shit, right?
That is the most college comedian name yes. I've ever. John Laughter. Coming to K-State, John Laughter.
John Laughter.
He's as funny as his name, John Laughter.
I was almost going to steal that. And then I was like, that's just too cheesy.
It's too,
that's
you would have, oh my God.
I would have been catching hell for that too.
Yes, you would have. I don't know, the name thing, it's like, you know, what do you think? The fucking guy at Starbucks knows how to spell your fucking name?
Exactly. Like, and there's people who constantly get offended. I don't. So I try to make it easier for people.
I just go with it. Like, there was another, like, instance where, I'm trying to think, I had something on my mind where it's like, they get your name wrong and it's like, oh, when I used to cold call, when I was working selling life insurance, I would do 300 dials a day.
Oh, yeah.
So I would go... I remember when I first started, and it is a very much a post-college thing to be like, but that is my name. Everyone knows my name.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, fucker.
Everyone doesn't know
your name. No, 22.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Keep dialing.
Fuck out of here.
Yeah, so I remember I would call, and I would be like, hey, this is Jared Free calling from so-and-so. I want to talk to you about, you know, yeah, and I go into my spiel, and the person would always go, Jared Lean? And I'd be like, and then I remember for the first, like, month of it, I'd be like, no, it's Jared Free. And I'd spend like 5 minutes explaining my name.
Correcting
my name when I got shit to do.
Yeah.
And like by 5 minutes in, they're like, okay, no.
Yeah.
Like, and then when by a month after that, I'm like, fuck my name.
Yeah.
I got to fucking make some sales.
I worked on Wall Street. So I used to cold call from Wall Street.
Yeah.
My career was telemarketing before comedy.
Yeah.
Because that way I could always quit. You could always walk away from a telemarketing job. But I had the same experience.
Yeah.
So John Laughter, if somebody said whatever they said back, I said yeah.
Yep. You know?
If they just said, hey, John Dookie Roll, yep, that's me. Listen, what I'm looking to do today.
Well, it's so funny because it's like, you know, we hear, like, it's like, you know, I always say, like, you see a lot of, like, college anger. And it's like, I'm always like, because they got the time.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, if they get the time to be angry.
Plenty of time.
And so it's like...
And
it's
plenty of beer.
Plenty of beer, plenty of time.
Yeah.
Plenty of time to, like, talk to each other about why they're angry and how they feel. And it's like, the minute you get 10 minutes into the real world, you're like, oh, fuck my name.
Yeah.
I got fucking rent to pay.
Yeah. I got fucking rent to pay. I got to pay this cell phone bill.
Yeah. I got Verizon on the other line.
Got to keep this cell phone
cooking. Yeah. I got to fucking get my data points. Listen, John, I'm so pumped to have you. Are you ready to answer these emails?
Yeah, let's do it, man.
So the email address, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. That's jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. Keep sending these emails. They get better and better every single episode. We're here with John Laughter @hewasfunny on Instagram. Go follow him. Support him. I'm not kidding. One of the funniest guys that I see in New York City. He's fantastic. He's a killer. You got to go follow him. @hewasfunny on Instagram. Labels. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Hey, Jared. So I've recently started seeing my ex-boyfriend again. Oh, it's a chick. Chick email. We dated for 5 years before going our separate ways. About 10 months ago, he came back into my life. We're exclusive now, but for whatever reason, he will not put a title on things. I'm not really the type of girl who need a title, but it's been almost a year or so. What the fuck? When I bring it up, he says he likes things the way they are. I'm in at his apartment all the time, and even though he even brought up us getting a dog together, which doesn't really match up with me not being his girlfriend. I know that I'm not really the issue here. I'm pretty confident in my looks, super social, and hold a high position in my sorority. I love that's back to the college thing. Listen, I'm head of fucking socials here. Yeah, you might as well be the treasurer. Anyways, the question is, am I wasting my time? Do guys get scared to fuck things up? Or maybe he's just a huge commitment phobe? I'm going to grad school in a few months and don't really need the BS of not knowing where I'm at in my love life. I'd love your insight. Loving the podcast. It always brightens my day. Thank you.
So, she has a boyfriend, but he wants to be not called a boyfriend, which is one of those funny, like, you ever do that with a chick where she's like, what are we doing here? And then you're just like, we're just what we is.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. But you know what, though? I think it's, you know, I kind of went through this recently. with a chick, but it's like, I think that it is retarded to be complaining about a guy who just offered to get a dog. Like, really?
Like, you're getting everything.
You're getting, and you know what, though, man? It's almost like women who are getting everything, it's not enough. And what you're going to do eventually is make him wake up one morning and say, doesn't matter what I do with this chick. Yeah. She's going to be looking for something else.
There's going to be another thing.
There's going to be, she's never going to stop. I have a saying, man, I'd rather be happy than be right. She's happy. Yeah. Shut the fuck up trying to be right.
Yeah, that is a great point. And it's also like one of those things where it's like, you're getting everything you want, and like,
and you're still looking.
And you're still looking. And it's also like the sexiness of the relationship for a guy is gone when you're like, so we're locked in, right?
Right.
And like, not to say that's right.
But I mean, it doesn't even matter.
It doesn't matter. He's spending all his time
doing everything right.
It's a two-way street. This guy should be like, yeah, we're boyfriend, girlfriend. Who the fuck cares?
Right.
She also needs to have the confidence to be like, I don't need to hear that we're boyfriend, right, girlfriend.
Right.
To feel like I can't move on from you.
Exactly.
I do think, though, I have a little clue into what's happening here.
Okay.
She says she's leaving. What I will do a lot, and a lot of guys will do, is you'll fuck with, you know, you'll date a girl, you'll fuck the girl, and then you'll see this out.
Yeah.
On the horizon.
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to grad school. Oh, right. I'm moving out of town maybe in a few months. And you're like, this is great. Now, there's a, like, it's almost like seeing an exit a mile down the highway.
Yes.
And you're like, I can go in the fast lane.
Right.
For like 3/4 of a mile, then I'll scoot on over to that exit. Do you know what I'm talking about? You ever done that with a chick?
I've done that. I had to move to New York. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I got to get out of here?
Yeah, I've been there.
But when you moved to New York, you had that last, you're like, okay, I got 3 months. I can get like real cuddly with a chick.
Or shut it down and run the board.
Yeah, I see the exit.
Yeah.
Two miles down the road.
Sow my royal oats in the meantime. Yeah.
And so to me, if you're like this girl's specific situation where she's like, I'm going to grad school in a few months. I don't want to be sitting here worrying about love. I don't think she has to worry about her love life until she gets on the plane to grad school.
Right.
Because I think what he's doing, he's saying, we're cool, baby.
Right. But you know? I don't know if that grad school thing's going to work out.
She's good for now.
Right. He's hedging his bet.
Yeah. He's like, we're going to get a dog. You know, like, and this is the other thing. Guys are fucking master manipulators when it comes to their penis. We are stupid in our brain. But our penis is a fucking genius.
I think she's in fucking good shape, though. Like, I think why push this guy over the edge, number one? Especially, not to mention the shit. Like, imagine if it was the other way around. If it were the other way around, I could understand. Like, if she was saying, oh my God, this guy says that he loves me, he's my boyfriend, but I don't see him.
Yeah.
He treats me like shit.
Yeah.
This guy's up under you all the time. He's talking about, let's get a dog. Like, what do you care?
What do you want?
You only want that so you can tell your girlfriends or take more Instagram pictures? Like, what the fuck are you after?
There's two things she wants, I think, in my opinion, and I think you're totally right.
Yeah.
If it was, he's treating me like shit, he never sees me, but I want to be his boyfriend, you'd be like, why do you want to even be with this guy?
No. I'm saying, what if it were the opposite? What if he was saying, we're boyfriend and girlfriend?
Oh, but he doesn't do anything she likes. Yeah.
But I never see him.
Would you be happy to go to your friends?
Exactly.
And, well, there is a
sense. Then you, to me, have a legitimate gripe. But this guy's doing the right thing. Then what is your problem?
Her problem is a friend of hers is like,
of course,
you guys aren't like official.
Right.
And she has to be like, well, we are, but we're not. Right. And that answer's a tough one to give the shithead friend.
And they hate that.
It's like I was moving.
And the shithead friend has a boyfriend who treats her like shit.
Yes. So she's making happy herself with the title. Feel better. Yeah, she's making herself feel better being like, well, at least I got the title and so-and-so doesn't.
Right.
And girls, I mean, I've said it on this podcast a million times. Girls compete with their relationship status.
Oh,
so
God.
They say, I am in relationship. I am fine. I am now risen above the brunch table.
Yes. Yeah.
You know? So
I'm the queen of the brunch
table. I'm the queen bee of this pancakes for the table.
Yes.
You know? So I think, but I do think she is getting nervous about when she leaves for grad school. What she's nervous about is she knows that exit's coming up.
Right.
And she wants to say, listen, you said we're getting off at exit 5.
Right.
But that's exit 4.
What you need to do is find a Olive Garden.
You know, a rest stop.
Find an Olive Garden. Yeah. Go sit down and say, hey, Everything's fine now.
We're cool.
Yeah, whatever. But let's talk about this grad school situation. That's what you need to do. You need to just sit down and have that conversation.
I think you're right, and the warning is right. I think you're right. Be fucking cool. Have fun in this relationship.
Enjoy it.
What he is doing right now, being like, listen, I got that exit. I might get off.
Right.
For him to say, I don't want the boyfriend girlfriend label. That's him saying, I just want this to be an easy exit. I want this to be smooth, and I want
to tap the blinker and ease it to the right.
Yeah. I want this 3 o'clock traffic on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
And so it's a warning and a piece of advice. The piece of advice, live in this. You're living in it. Your relationship is good. I think girls need to stop looking for the relationship status. Like we were talking last night, there was an article in the Post about a girl who had a ring for $125,000.
125 stacks.
$125,000, and the wedding broke off the day of the wedding, and she won't give the wedding ring back.
Won't give it back.
And we were talking about it last night.
Because her family also spent a ton of money.
It was a very specific situation, but you asked a girl we were talking with, it was Nimesh's girlfriend,
yeah.
Would you give it back?
Would you give the? And she said that she thought that the ring should go back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just an interesting question because it's like, how does a ring become $125,000? Because the girl with the $10,000 ring showed hers off, and then it became the next girl had to get the $12,000 ring, and then the other girl had to get the $50,000 ring,
yes.
And then the other girl was like, fuck you, bitches. I blew you out of the water.
Got a $125,000 ring.
Yeah.
Suck it, bitches.
You idiots. And it's like, at that point, the ring translates to this email because you become responsible to that label and to that amount of money.
Yes.
That the relationship now becomes about, well, I'm with her because we're boyfriend, girlfriend.
Totally.
And it's not because I'm with her because we're having the best time. And that's a lot of things that guys fear.
And there's always a hurdle.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean,
there's always exits on the highway.
You could be laying in bed with a chick, right?
Yeah.
And the condom is still smoking. And she's like, so, like, what are we? You
know? The condom is still smoking. Yeah.
So, like, what? Like, so, like, what?
And you're like,
what
I just came. I'm not even sure
right,
what I am.
Right. Right. They always hit you with that question. So, like, what are we doing here? Like, what are you talking about? God damn.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. We were John Laster. Go follow him right now. Open up Instagram @hewasfunny on Instagram. Go follow him, support him. Funny, 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 funny guy. Soon to be ex. Hey, Jared. Yeah, I'm an adult and can just call you by your name. Some people give me nicknames, so this is a different. They're usually Jewish related for whatever reason. Maybe because I'm Jewish and I don't even think I talk about it that much. But I know I'm not your typical listener as I am 34 going through a divorce and have a 4-year-old little girl.
Mm.
Shit just got flaccid. Your podcast brings a ton of laughs into my day, and honestly, you and your guests dish out some pretty damn good advice. And thank you. Here's my issue. I'm going through a divorce from a woman that, for the last 2 years of our marriage, turned out to be fucking my best friend.
Oh, body.
Oh,
body.
I didn't think my dick could get less hard. I thought 34 going through a divorce and 4-year-old little girl was like the most soft my penis would ever get. Fucking my best friend just made me turn into a froyo.
A folder upper.
Yeah, it turtled. 2 years of our marriage turned out to be fucking my best friend. How do I play it? Do I take her for everything? I've already lost my love and my best friend. What say you on how I get back out there after almost 6 years of a relationship that was mainly built on a lie? Kind of fucks with a fellow's confidence, and none of the dating apps were around before I was in marriage. Are they worth pursuing? Your Jewish wisdom would mean a lot. Thanks in advance. Man, this is a fucking tough one. And I'm sorry, man.
Jesus.
If you're listening right now, I'm sorry. Because that is one of those things that, like, right? John can't believe this is an email that we would get on this podcast.
Oh, my God.
I said feather my nuts like 700 times in the beginning, and then a guy writes in with kids and in a relationship.
Yo,
it's like,
fuck it. Here's.
What do you think? You ever been cheated on?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. I think everyone's been cheated on. I think everyone...
Not that I'm aware of. Now, I have...
I like that you answered it, not that I'm aware of, because that is the right way to answer the question.
Right. I had an ex that I caught with a guy, but we were in the stage of a relationship where I didn't care at all. Like,
yeah.
It was like we'd been dating for a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. She lied. I don't know that I ever fully trusted her anyway, but I can say not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Yeah.
The one thing about being cheated on is it's what we want to believe, since we're all narcissists, is that like I push this they were so disgusted by me,
right,
that they needed that, which it's never really that,
right?
You know, like I'll say it, I've cheated on girlfriends.
Oh, Jesus.
Have you?
You think?
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just, let's all be honest here. This is, I think people like this podcast because
I was a horrible, horrible boyfriend.
Why did you do it?
With the back of the throat. With that. Not the regular horrible. I was a.
Yeah.
That
came from your gut.
Came from my nut.
Yes.
Horrible boyfriend.
Your nuts were literally speaking.
Horrible.
They were like, say it right.
Yeah, I was horrible. Yeah.
What made you do it? I can speak for myself, but I mean,
man, young, fucking self-centered.
Yeah.
Some nights vodka. Strip clubs. It was a lot of different shit. But I you know, my appetite for debauchery is off the charts.
Yeah.
I love fucking threesomes. I love fucking wild parties.
Oh man, I've never heard that before.
Yeah, man.
Everyone on this podcast is like, yeah, that's me. That's me.
Yeah.
No, but I, you know what? The taste. A lot of the cheating is the taste of adventure. Like,
oh,
you know,
totally.
Like relationships. You know, there's a, you know, monotony and monogamy sound a lot alike.
Yeah.
You know, so
I don't know, man. I like a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And it's not even, but I've never cheated because I'm like, fuck that chick. I've never done it because I'm like, she's not good enough.
Nah.
It's just, it's somewhat of an unexplainable thing where you're like, I don't know. It just was like, I was a dick.
I don't know. You know what, man? I think that it's selfish in the sense of, you know, like I'm lying. You could always tell the person, hey,
yeah,
like, you know what I mean? But I think there's a cowardice to that.
Yeah,
at least
of course.
There has been on my, let me speak for me.
Yeah.
There's been a cowardice to just not say, hey, you know, this fucking monogamy thing is just not, you know what I mean? It's almost like you're a bad person because, you know, like if I said, oh, I think I want to be a woman, everybody would clap.
Mm-hmm.
But if I say, I think I want to fuck other chicks, oh, he's the devil.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why? Because I'm built that way.
Yeah,
but if I say I'm built that way, then I'm the devil if I just want to sleep with other women. If I want to become a woman, then I'm a hero.
This is how I felt my whole life.
That's right.
I felt that I wanted to fuck every chick my whole life.
I'm no different than Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah,
I like the fucking bad chicks. And I'm capable. I am fully capable.
This makes a lot more sense than I thought it would be when you first went into
way.
It. Yeah, I was born this way.
To want to fuck everybody.
Well, I mean, like the whole, like, it's almost like when you hear like Tiger Woods says he's a sex addict and everyone rolls their eyes like, yeah, you just have the ability to have sex with
a lot
of fucking chicks.
Not true.
What is that?
Because a lot of us have the ability, not like Tiger, but I'm saying have the ability to sleep with a lot of chicks. Sometimes you want to, sometimes you don't. There are some people who cannot help themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I always think, in my mind, I'm always like, yeah, people can't help themselves when they have the ability to not help themselves.
But I think that there are some people who really are sex addicts. Oh, yeah, man. I think that there are people who are up in, you know,
I think it's like,
online
to me,
ordering chicks every night.
Yeah,
where
to me,
normally people wouldn't.
To me, it's like ADD. Like, I think there's people with ADD out there, but then I think everyone was like, yeah, I kind of don't listen sometimes. Like, I got ADD. You know, like, I think that's kind of what sex addicts, I think there's sex addicts out there, and then I think there's a lot of people like, yeah, I get hard sometimes on the subway. I gotta say, I'm a sex addict. it's like, no, you know, I think we've all done that a couple times.
I mean,
get a no-reason boner on the 7.
I fucking think that, like, and you're talking to a guy who is an addict.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I've been to a bunch of rehabs. Mm-hmm. So I think I know the feeling of,
you
like,
know what it goes through, like, every day.
But I've been out with people who drink a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they think that it's the same thing, and it's not. Once you cross the line,
I mean, we've hung out together. I don't sit there drinking water.
Right. I've seen you with plenty of big glasses.
Yeah.
And some fancy wine last night, I might add.
I was doing a little red wine, celebrating.
With a carafe.
Yes.
with a baby carafe.
They served it with a baby carafe.
A baby carafe of wine.
And I was like, "What? Why did you do this to me?" That's why. You know when they serve you something with like a glass, and you're like, "Did you guys just like want to fuck with me?" You know, like one time, like you know when you order like off the cocktail menu.
Yeah.
And what they've done at a lot of new bars is they'll put the type of glass, the picture of the glass next to it.
Yeah.
It's like, thank you for warning a dude.
Yeah.
You know, like, because sometimes you go to these places, you'll be like, oh, look at that whiskey cocktail. And then it comes in your mom's vagina, and you're like holding this like delicate vagina around. You know?
So, like, I did not want to be walking around with this.
Like, it's whiskey, everybody. Yeah. I swear. I don't know. I mean... But back to this guy.
I'm feeling this guy's pain more than anyone because there's nothing worse than wondering if you can trust yourself. Can I trust my own judgment?
Mm-hmm.
And he's got to question himself not only about this chick but about the guy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? About his best friend. So now he's wondering when you're talking to people.
He's trusted two people that were untrustworthy.
Right.
Yeah.
But now you're wondering in any relationship, if you can't trust your girl and your best friend, I don't trust none of you motherfuckers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you don't want to get into a situation where each chick that he's with, he's questioned into the death because he went through this last thing. You don't want to drag that into the next relationship. But I would say this, man.
Mm.
34 is fucking so... You are so... There's so many people out there.
34 is an amazing age.
It's a great... Dude, you have no problem.
You can go down to 27.
No problem.
No problem to 27. You can stay at 34 with a divorcee who's in the same situation as you.
You can't
probably going to give a good blowjob because she's so mad at their dude.
If you want to do that.
Yeah, if you want to do that. I'm just saying, here's what I would say.
34 is not, it's not like he's out of the...
Life isn't over.
Yes, dude.
By any means.
You're so in the game still.
Here's the other thing. I say this, I've never gone through something like this. I don't have a child. But I'll say what I would look at somebody. This is, all I can give is what I would emotionally feel for somebody that was this. I've said this before. I don't know if I've said this on the podcast. This is one of my more... out there statements, okay? And so for the listeners at home, don't think I'm an evil guy. I've always been jealous of the guy, the widower.
Mm.
Widowers, older men whose wives, I'm not saying I want my wife to pass away, but
they're gonna play this in court in a couple of years.
I know
right?
This is gonna be played. My future wife better never die. But
play this while you're sitting there on the stand.
Widowers get to fuck all the women they want, and everyone goes, "But he went through a lot,
right?"
You know, they always let those widowers off
pass.
The stud hook.
It's a pass.
It's a pass.
It's a pussy pass.
Total pussy pass.
Total pussy pass.
The TPP.
Dead wife, the TPP.
Yeah.
The true TPP.
You're absolutely right. And it's like his wife didn't die.
No.
But this is a story.
This is
man.
The next best thing.
Yeah.
This is the, like, let's look at the positive thing of it.
Your girl cheated on you.
Your girl cheated on you with your best friend.
Yeah.
And you have a daughter. And look at you.
He's running.
You wanted the family. You wanted to commit.
Yes.
You wanted the white picket fence, but it was taken from you. Not by cancer, but by your best friend. So now, instead of you know, you switch it in, you know?
He's a total pussy pass runner-up.
Yes. He's got the... He's
the red ribbon. The red ribbon of the total pussy pass race.
He's got that, you know, the lanyard. The
silver medalist.
You know, he's a silver medalist. You know when you go to a concert and they give you the all-access pass?
Yes.
He can go everywhere but backstage.
Yes.
Okay? I'm just saying to him...
VIP
pass. So let's look at he has the VIP pass to the pussy.
Oh, yeah.
Let's look at it, best case scenario. So my advice to this guy and anyone who goes through something that's a little bit tragic with their relationships, whether it's dumped or cheated on or pass away, which, you know, that's a very serious thing. But I'm saying if something tragic happens to you, that is kind of like it's going to make you into the person you are, and how you react after it is how people are going to respect you. So if you are, and what you could go down two paths. You could hold a grudge. You can be angry at your friend. You could seclude yourself and then not be a good dad. Or you can go the other path and be like, this is my daughter. I'm going to be the best dad ever to my daughter. I'm going to be cool with her, with my ex and my ex-friend who... You have a right to make it your ex-friend. I'm going to be cool with them even though what they did was a horrible thing. I'm going to tuck it away. Those are the people they are.
Right.
They didn't do things to get me, but they are not people I will ever trust again.
Right.
You can put them in the box of that's who they are, and you can't expect more from them from now on.
Deplorables.
Deplorables. Yes. You're in the deplorable category. So now, you dig in. I got a great kid. I'm going to be the best kid. Now you get to be grandpa. You know?
But you have to draw a line in the sand, like you said. You cannot walk around distrusting and whatever, because everyone's gonna run from you.
It's gonna soil every other relationship.
It's gonna soil every other relationship. So you have to make a clean break. You have to say, these two deplorables are what they are. I'm not gonna move forward with that festering in me.
Exactly. You gotta let it go. Yeah. And it's easier said than done. But you're hearing it from two people. Man, Sam's shaking his head. I think you're just hearing. You're hearing what the peers and what people are looking. You know, it's not something to be embarrassed about. It's not something to be ashamed about. It's this.
Nor
is
do
life.
I think you. I don't. I think it's dangerous too. Also, to wave that in women's face, like to try to get sympathy, pussy. Because I think that
you're right.
People can also see that as, well, there must be something wrong with you.
Yes, I'm not. So
be careful with that.
Be careful with this advice. I'm not saying to go on a date and be like, yeah, she cheated on me. Shit's great. Like, don't be that guy.
I mean, don't be sitting there fucking, you know, almost crying in your wine, like, hey, you know.
No, it happened.
Slept on
it
me,
sucks
my
that
best
it,
friend. Like,
yeah, you don't
so
have to
what
go
are we
whole
doing
story.
Later?
Yeah,
nothing.
Yeah, no,
you fucking loser.
That's not going to work.
Get the fuck
out
of here.
What's going to work is it's kinda
the advice you gave. You sit there at the table and you say, hey, those two did what they did. I don't fuck with them anymore. What are we eating? What do you want to eat?
It's you know what's sexy? In a movie, tortured past guy, you know. So you, when she slowly develops the
TPG,
tortured past guy. Yeah, I'm telling you, because when she slowly realizes he was cheated on and he didn't bring it up once, he must be and then she brings it up to you, and you're like, "What happened?
Yeah.
You know, how did it end with your wife?" It was actually pretty bad. She actually ended up sleeping with my best friend. And like, if that's the way she finds out, instead of you pouring over a glass of wine, like, oh,
yes.
And she's a bitch.
With a fucking violinist behind you. Yeah. Get the fuck out of here.
But that's for, you know, this guy's situation is very specific. That's for so many breakups. That's for any breakup. Hey, she wanted to move on in that direction. It sucked at the time. I feel good about it now. I have a beautiful daughter.
I'm not like them.
And I'm not like them.
Yeah.
I was looking for more.
Yeah.
I was looking for white fence, picket fence, the commitment. Yeah. And she's going to be like, and then she'll be literally sopping wet.
Yeah.
Yes. So, yes. And also, get away from that circle. You got to go lean on your family and new friends.
You're the king of tortured past guys.
King of tortured past
just
guys.
Just underneath TPP.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. We're here with John Lasseter @HeWasFunny on Instagram. Do yourself a favor right now. Pull out Instagram, hit that follow button. He's fantastic. You're going to love him. Killing it right now, Mr. Lasseter. Killing it.
We are saving lives.
Saving lives.
Saving lives.
We have a sponsor today. My favorite sponsor, because I use him. I'm not only am I, what is the old hair club for men thing?
Not only am I a client, I'm the hair club president.
I'm the hair. No, that's that was close.
That's not it.
Not only am I a subscriber, but I'm also a client.
It's something like that. Yeah. Well, not only am I the owner, but I'm also a client.
Oh, yeah, you're right. So maybe I thought it was. Why did it sound different in my head? Listen, I just love this company because you know what? What they did is that it's like Uber. I used to take cabs when I would go home to Boston. I'm from Needham.
Mm-hmm.
When I go home, it's like a half hour trip, or it's like a 15 to 20 minute trip. Needham to the city, and it was like $150 cab ride.
Mm.
Now you go back and the Uber's $35. Mm. And it's like, we were being fucked the whole time. We spent years just giving up that's not
thousands of dollars.
Yeah, that wasn't like a $10 difference.
Yeah.
That was a massive difference. And that's why I love Harry's. They saw that people were getting fucked by their razor companies.
Oh, I've seen that. You fuck and with that?
Yes.
Okay.
We got to get you. We'll get you a hand, the free starter pack, because we can hook this up. It's expensive.
I just bought some, $30 something.
How much money for razors? So listen, they are better, and they're just as good, if not better, than any other razor I've ever used. Big razor companies, what they do is they'll have small changes, come out with the newest version, raising their already high prices. Unlike those guys, Harry's doesn't believe in upcharging, which is why they made their razors even better, and they're keeping prices exactly the same. Look at that. Harry's five-blade razors now include softer flex hinge for a more comfortable glide, trimmer blade for hard-to-reach places, lubricating strip, textured handle for more control when it's wet. Still! Just $2 per blade compared to $4 or more you'll pay at the drugstore.
It's more than $4.
It's more than that.
I just bought some.
And listen, they own the factory in Germany where they're made, so Harry's can produce the high-quality blades and sell them online for half the price. Harry's is so confident at the quality of their blades. They're going to send you their popular free trial set, which comes with a razor, five-blade cartridge, and shaving gel. Get your free trial set when you subscribe. Just pay $3 for shipping. They're literally looking you in the eye and being like, try it. Well, you'll come back.
Mm.
Right? Yeah. That is, I mean, that's a salesperson. That's someone that trusts their product. Plus, I got a special offer for my listeners. Enter code JTRAIN, JTRAIN, JTRAIN. That's code JTRAIN. That's code JTRAIN at checkout. Get post-shave balm for free with your order. Go to harrys.com right now. Enter code JTRAIN at checkout to claim your free trial set. Post-shave balm, that's harrys.com, code JTRAIN. Listen, that shave balm, I keep saying it. I put it on. You know when you remember like Home Alone?
Yeah.
That scene, the famous scene where he puts the aftershave on, and then he screams because it burns your face. That's what when I first was about to put this on, I was like, oh, fuck, I'm screwed. I'm going to be doing the Macaulay Culkin. And then I put it on, and I was like, oh, this smells like I want to fuck me. So listen, get in to that. Virginia.
Like you wanted to run a train on yeah. The J train.
I was like, oh, turn around, Jared. Let me get behind you. Here with John Lasseter at He Was Funny on Instagram. At He Was Funny on Instagram. Roommate Feud. Mr. Freed, love the podcast. Helps me deal with the Sunday weirds after hitting the bar. Enough nut feathering. I have issues with my roommates that I need help with. One of my roommates and I are polar opposites in terms of neatness. I'm very messy by nature, and he's as clean as a maid. I completely understand that he wants a clean house, and I have made a concerted effort to meet him in the middle. I don't get annoyed for being called out for being messy. It's just how he goes about it. Taking shots at my parents' parenting abilities and saying things like, I really don't know how you'd expect to succeed in business if you're so fucking messy and don't have mommy and daddy cleaning up after you. I confronted him about it, and he apologized for taking some deep cuts, but the issue at large remains. I don't know how to address this issue. We were friendly otherwise, but it's still fucking annoying. Thanks in advance. What do you think? I mean, it seems like they've worked it out. What do you think?
You know,
you ever
what,
had
man?
A messy roommate, bad roommate?
I do know. Yeah.
Right now.
Right now.
Right. You want to send a message
like
to this
right
person?
Right now, at this hour.
Yeah.
You know what the thing is, though? My thing is, there's certain areas of the house that, you know, mutual areas. Let's just keep those clean. You can be hell on earth in your room.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, like, don't fucking be leaving dishes and shit like that. Like,
yeah.
Common spaces, I think. You have to draw the line.
I know. And you know what? I agree. And listen, do your best. I'll say, the reason I read that, I'm going through something. My brother and I, we get in these arguments. And I'll say to this, if I could give any piece of advice to the listeners out there, I give a lot of advice in this podcast, obviously, right out of my ass, okay? Here's advice that I live through daily. Do not be considered the lazy person. Don't ever be considered lazy by anyone. If you can just be the second laziest, you're good. Because that will be used against you no matter how right you are. So like a lot of times I'll be like I got in this argument with my brother, and he was like, I'll tell this story because I'm still fucking mad about it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I'm fresh off of Madville.
Yeah, I'm angry about this. And we were texting about this day. He goes to the Verizon store a year ago and gets a new phone, okay? He moved away. He doesn't live in New York anymore. So he wants to upgrade his phone. So he goes to me, can you go to the Verizon store and talk to this guy I spoke with a year ago? because we have a verbal agreement to upgrade my phone.
Right.
I'm like, at that moment, I'm like, that sounds ridiculous.
That sounds utterly ridiculous.
First of all, Verizon stores, the retention rate, I don't know what they are. I don't think that people are working there.
A year later. And remember conversations from a year ago.
A verbal agreement? What?
As if it's a Rolls Royce dealership.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Or.
And this guy stands to make a $20,000 commission.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this is all incentive based. Exactly. You think of the incentives. Like, this guy
has no incentive. Zero.
To remember my Joe Blow brother.
As soon as he walked out the door, he has no incentive. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, he forgot his name before he left.
And went to lunch.
Exactly.
And smoked some weed.
Yeah.
That's why the contracts are 2 years, because that guy's not going to be there for longer than 14 months.
So let's say he is there for more than a year. And I walk in and I'm like, hey, do you remember my brother who walked in here and you guys had a verbal agreement about him getting... So I was like, I was like, I don't know. And then like, I was like, I don't think this is the right idea. His response to me being like, dude, that's like, all of us are in agreement that that is a ridiculous thing.
That's absurd.
I go, why don't you, like, at the time I didn't think of this. I was like, why don't you just, like, but he goes, his response to me being like, I'm not, what? And I was like, and I kind of was just like, yeah, I'll go Tuesday. Like, I was kind of joking.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, right. You're Mr. Lazy, you're not gonna do this. Like, he thought that was a way of motivating me into it. And I was like, so his response to my thing was like, this is how you do things. Like, you never would go through. You never follow through. And it's like, yeah, but I'm never gonna follow through on your stupid fucking plan.
Right.
So, but his response is actually right. Since I am laziest in my family, now that can be that's the get all response, because no one can disagree with that.
A blanket statement.
It's a blanket statement. Oh, you're
of
the
Mr. Jared.
Yeah, Jared. Of course he would never do that. He can go to my mom
and start the conversation with a lazy guy. Wouldn't do something else.
You know what Jared wouldn't do for me?
Right.
And that's what I'm saying. So now, and I'm saying this to anyone out there.
He can blanket you with the
blanket me with. He can carpet bomb me with lazy.
Right. Right.
And I'm saying this to anyone who's like, and they use that. You'll be like, you know, oh, you, what do you, how's the apartment? Yeah, I'm just fixing up. Oh, it would take you 2 days to get your apartment fixed up.
Right.
What? I think that's a normal amount of time. Right. You know, like, everything becomes about whether you are a lazy person or not.
Yes.
Like, unlazy people's reputations clear them out of so many fucking arguments. Oh, I feel like, I'm like, what am I, insane? Half the time, because laziness gets brought in. Into the and
your reputation precedes you.
That's exactly what it is.
A la President-elect Trump.
There it is. Well, that's what a lot of people are saying.
Because without that branding, there's no way he gets away with murder like that.
There's no way he gets into the presidency without using certain amount of brand. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. Where it's like,
he's successful. Look, he's got a building. Don't worry that he doesn't have a plan.
Yeah, he's got a plane with his name on it.
He's got a plane with.
Yeah, your reputation will. But especially for, so if you're considered the messy guy in the apartment,
anything
you
even
fucking,
a normal thing that people would normally leave, just forgetting,
it's you doing it though.
It's Pigpen left it.
Yes. Exactly.
So it is this slovenly human being of the universe.
Exactly. So for this
desecrated this living room with a plastic cup,
and I hate it. I agree with this guy. I hate it when someone makes a mistake of yours, a depthier issue.
Well, here's the thing though, being on the other side, right? Being
you're the clean guy, he's the messy guy.
And I'm not a super clean guy, but I'm not a messy guy. But the thing is though, man, is it's almost as if I think that messy people, man, there is a feeling of what's wrong with you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, how
I'll tell you what's wrong with me.
How could you not be adult enough to clean up after yourself, number one? But the second thing means...
He's talking right to me.
Yeah, the second thing is that it insinuates that, you know, almost like you think that your time is more important. You know, that you're going to leave this mess here. Oh, you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's almost a, hey, you peasants, go ahead and deal with that.
Yes.
I'm done eating my pizza. I'll leave the box and the pizza.
Yes.
I'm sure you guys will figure it out.
Well, that's a part of the advice to this guy.
And that's what makes steam come out of your ears.
Yes. And that's the advice to this guy. Listen, understand what the other side feels about you.
Yeah.
So the other side feels that way, that you are being, you're valuing your time more than their time.
Far more.
They understand. So what you got to do is fucking let's get it together.
Yeah.
Let's make an effort and understand your effort has to be so much more than the next person because your reputation precedes you.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I think what he did was great. Hey, I don't think what you're saying, like, and there is a point where someone says, how are you going to make it in business when they're saying it to you? And it's really more about them.
I don't think there's any correlation between the two.
Yeah, there's no correlation.
None whatsoever.
Listen, there's a lot of disgusting people that are pretty good at business. So,
tons of them. My brother.
Yeah, so that's a... But
horribly messy person.
I think if you're out there with a messy roommate, you're not going to motivate that. I'll say for both sides. Him, you got to be better than the next guy. And for the person with the messy roommate, you can't motivate via... Making it a moral issue, as if your morals are greater than theirs.
No,
just say to them, listen, when you don't clean up, it makes me feel like you think my time is less useful than your time.
And that's fair.
And that's totally fair.
That's
but say
totally fair.
Your parents and your grandparents.
No need to drag all that
and
into
when they
it.
Came over on the Mayflower, they didn't know how to fucking clean up the boat.
They probably never flushed the toilets.
Yeah, it's like, listen.
Whoa.
You're never going to motivate people through that speaking.
When somebody starts going at your parents, you sound like, then you start talking to them like Stewie from Family Guy. Whoa. Why are you talking about my mother?
JTrainPodcast at gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. John Laster, thank you so much.
Oh, thanks for having me.
This was fantastic.
This is awesome. We should have done this long ago.
I totally agree. You're going to come back at He Was Funny on Instagram. Hey, get out Instagram right now. Go follow my man, John, at He Was Funny on Instagram. He's fantastic. Such a funny comic. We're going to come right back with Hypotheticals and News. We'll be right back. Hey guys, welcome back. John Laster, you're the man. Thank you for coming on.
Oh man, happy to be here, man.
Great job answering the emails. I love the thought. I love that. I think I said it before, but I love that we got out the idea of the guy with dead wife being the king of pussy.
The king of pussy. The TPP, baby.
TPP. Man Sam, thank you for coming on.
Happy to be here.
Awesome. At Man Sam on Twitter. Mandatory Samson Podcast. Coming at you hard with election talk.
Yes.
So go check that out here on the Labs Network, Mandatory Samson Podcast. Now is the time to listen. And if you're one of those people out there, I know we got a lot of like right-leaning people that might listen to this and are like, they know where you're coming from.
Right.
A lot of people message me and they're like, you know why I like Manson's podcast? It's actually a level-headed discussion and doesn't feel like I'm being yelled at.
That's great. Yeah, I like to hear that. And I did. I got, you know, tweets from people being like, look, I'm conservative, but you really surprised me with how, you know.
If you haven't gotten involved, that's a little bit
with a fair-handed conversation.
Yeah. That's what we're trying to do, yeah.
That's what you got to do. John Laster, at He Was Funny on Instagram. Go follow him, support him. So funny. One of those guys you don't want to follow. You're just like, oh, shit. Because sometimes you go, you know, you do a stand-up show and people are like, there's certain guys you're like, oh, they're going to be still wanting more of that party.
Yeah. Well, I don't think anybody wants to follow you either. Man.
No. You know, I there's certain people, I look at you, I'm like, here we go. I gotta make them like me now, too.
I feel the same way when I follow you. Yeah. You gotta bring your A game.
Gotta bring it. So we're gonna do some hypotheticals. If you have a hypothetical, send it in, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. Title it Hypothetical. We got sup, Jew. The funniest part about this guy's email is he sent it twice. The first one just says sup, Jew, and then he sent it by accident. So then it says sup, Jew again, and then it's the email. Coming at you with a hypothetical after your shit Patriots lost to the Hawks. Yeah, the Patriots fucking, they blew it. I hate that call on fourth down. Run it. Run it three times. And they tried to do, they fumbled the quarterback's knee, whatever. Would you rather have your daughter be one of those kids who sits alone at lunch, has no friends, or have your daughter be a huge slut? Now, and it could be a guy, we could have your son be the sit alone kid and huge slut, I guess, too. Now, I'd rather
my son be the huge slut.
Yeah. I hate the word slut. I hate the word fuckboy. I hate all that. It makes me cringe. Now, with the no friends options, she could either be one of those weird kids that's really fucking smart and make it one day, or just be a weirdo that plays Foursquare alone at recess. With the slut option, she still has plenty of friends, but you'll also have to look back at what a horn dog you were back in high school and remember all the weird shit you wanted to do back then and now know that there are plenty of guys that are trying to do the same, and your daughter is fully willing to participate. But she could also end up banging some football player, which would be kind of cool. I don't think I would think that would be kind of cool. Oh, my daughter does anal with the captain of the football team? Have fun, guys. What?
A lot to unpack there.
So really, it goes either way with both options. Choose wisely, young Jewish sage. Also, shout out to Will over in Georgia, who got me hooked on the podcast. Thanks, Will, for spreading the word. What do you think?
You know what,
daughter, man, who sits alone?
I think anytime you're talking to a guy and you say slut, guy's going to cringe.
Yeah, so we're going
with the daughter who sits alone.
Sits alone.
Yeah. I mean, and not to mention, there were a lot of people who sat alone or were like super nerds in high school that are fully functional now.
Yeah. It's man, Sam, what do you think?
You know, I'm good either way. It's as long as she's, you know, doing what she wants to do. But saying slut is such a, I don't know. It's a tough question.
I don't mind of
it,
you know, like, I don't like the idea of it being a, here's what I will say.
Well, it's a negative connotation.
It's a negative connotation. Here's what I'll say.
Sleeps around,
or like, I think.
I know that there's this pushback, like, against slut shaming.
Yeah.
Right? But I really do think that there's some, like, young chicks like that used to get around it. I mean, you've done pretty good, so.
Well, I mean, I've done pretty good. I mean, yeah.
But chicks, a lot of chicks that I know that did that, I think that there's more self-esteem issues there than with the chick who's.
Well, here's the thing. In high school, this guy's like, what you would have done in high school. I didn't fucking get with any chicks in high school. Like,
you were a virgin in high school.
I was a virgin in high school, yeah.
Wow.
I lost my virginity at 18. So like I made out, like, I, you know, I was, oh, you know, in high school, I wasn't killing it, you know, by any means. And so I think, you know, the thing is, but I wanted to fuck everything.
I felt like the chicks that were, okay, so let's not use the word slut. They were super active in high school,
mm-hmm,
were looking to be loved.
That's the thing.
Like, I didn't think that it was like something where they were like, oh God, I just like sex a lot.
Yeah, they were just willing
to sleep.
Because even a guy doesn't even know what sex is at that age.
You don't even know what you're doing.
You don't even know what you're doing to feel good.
I mean, yeah.
Like, I know, the thing is, the guy thing is like an automatic car.
I used to come super quick in high school.
Yeah, I mean.
Super quick.
High school.
Speedy Gonzalez.
How about earlier this week for me? I mean, I...
How about Friday?
Friday. Are we calling Friday high school now?
How about Quick Nut Fridays?
Yeah. If I was to change the hypothetical, I would be like, do I want my daughter to be cool or a loser? I would always choose for my kid to be kind of a loser in high school. Because I think there's something to finding your own personality where, like, if you're around cool, I think there's got to be some sort of statistic. If you're a cool kid, you've got to probably have a bigger chance of dying.
You think so?
You're out drinking more. You're in cars
more.
Well, you know what?
Maybe you're right. Because I was prom king. And yeah. So, and then I became an alcoholic. So, to prove your point.
There's something to that.
A lot of, like, cocaine in after hours after that.
I mean, but I'm saying, if you're like, if you're
yay
sitting
for
at
the cool kid.
That's what I'm saying. So but if you're sitting at the alone table, you're sitting there being like, I got to figure some shit out to be successful in something.
I just also think that most people come into their own. Even as the cool kid, I was beyond insecure. I had a good way of hiding it back then.
Totally. I mean, well, that's, in high school, you're kind of like an actor.
Right.
You're just trying to figure out where you can fit yourself in to get by without being exposed as the loser that you are.
Right. But the kids sitting there by themselves could go on to be some Oscar winning, you know what I mean?
Also, daughter's the loser at the alone table, there's a small chance that she gets out of high school, undoes her ponytail,
right,
and becomes the hot chick we never
knew
about.
And guys like that chick.
Love that chick. And listen, you know, also she's forming other abilities. You know, she's not, you know, the thing is, for a hot high school girl, you know, and I'm not saying, I don't want to sound horrible, but I do believe this. Like, when it's kind of like when you lose your sight, You gotta be, you gotta, your smell's better, your other senses rise up. If you're hot in high school, your other senses are kind of dulled.
Yeah.
Because people just, listen, I will believe anything a hot person says to me. I'll just, your jawline makes a lot of sense right now. Do you know what I mean?
This is when the J train jumps the track.
Yeah, this is where it goes crazy.
He said, I won't believe anything a hot chick says.
I'm just saying, like, if a hot chick came out to me and was like, hey, you're pretty funny, I'd be like, I guess I'm hilarious. You know, like, oh, and if, like, and if someone I'm not attracted to came up to me and was like, you're pretty funny, I'd be like, all right, watch out, pig. You know, like, I don't know. I don't want to sound, I'm joking to an extent.
You did tell me you want the girl from the Blurred Lines video to be your senator. So that was weird.
I did. The girl from the Blurred Lines video. I watched the Blurred Lines video the first time I saw it. This is a story to make me sound, This is the coolest hookup I've ever had. I'll say it right now. I was watching the Blurred Lines video, the naked version, getting a blowjob while the first time I watched it. And I was like, this is living.
Yeah.
Right? I don't need anything.
I don't need anything.
I don't need anything right
I've
now.
I've officially
I'm good.
Made it.
I've made it.
Made it.
I'll always have this to masturbate to.
Mama, we made it.
Listen, if you have a hypothetical, send it in to jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. Hypothetical. Let's do a little news.
So under President Obama, they set up a website through the White House, change.org, where you can go on, people can put up petitions, and if you get X amount of signatures on there,
see, I've never understood. I see these all the time, and I, like, you ever see these change.org petitions, and they're like, look how many people have signed this petition. Do they do anything?
250,000 responses to it, or people signing the petition, requires the White House to actually say something about it.
That's a pretty funny thing.
To address it.
They have to address it. It's like, it's pretty funny that it's like, it's kind of like putting out a tweet, like a response to like a famous person on Twitter. And it's like, if it gets a lot enough likes, he's going to see that
shit. He's
going to
say something.
He's got to see it at least. And it's like, it's the same thing with the president.
With that.
Yeah, this is just a bunch of likes. You know?
Well, so anyway, so there's one up on change.org now that, you know, liberals are putting it out there, people who oppose Trump. On December 19th, the electors of the Electoral College actually have to cast their ballot for who's going to be president. Obviously, Trump won, you know, the election. So, but what the Democrats are hoping is that if you get enough people, these electors, to change their vote, because they're not really bound by the results.
This is a suggestion from your county or
That they're hoping that they'll actually just cast their ballot for Hillary Clinton instead of Donald Trump.
And that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, which is not going to happen. It's just such a...
It's an interesting hypocrisy. I mean, I am an independent. I've been just sitting here, kind of sitting in, you know, and this is a position people could speak badly about. I could understand someone's position, but they're like, fuck off. But I just sit there, I'm like, let's watch the fire burn and look at that crazy person on the left, look at that crazy person on the right. This to me is like a crazy, it's funny because leading up to the election, when Trump wouldn't say whether he would like accept losing the election, everyone's like, this is trouble. Right. And then we get to post-election and it works out in the other direction, and now people are petitioning for a non-peaceful, you know, like a non-acceptance.
I think that's got to be some tiny part of Democrats. Most Democrats are like, the election was the election.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I mean, as a black man, there's nothing more fearful than Donald Trump.
Yeah.
You know, you got people running around like Giuliani, the guy from the white supremacist groups that's his chief of staff. Those people, the first thing they do is target black men. So, which means you could be out in the street. I got on a hoodie, right? It's not a joke for us.
Yeah.
Like, you could be shot by the cops. If there's no one, if they don't bring in the feds to investigate these things, the cops feel like, eh. And then you got a guy like Giuliani cheering that type of shit on, saying, let's go back to stop and frisk. It's fearful. It's not like some game for us. It's not some esoterical argument.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, the election was the election.
Yeah.
You're talking about a guy who is actually genuinely, when you get off the train, you don't know when the cops are going to turn around the block and think that, oh, that's the guy. And if they feel like pulling out their shit and shooting you.
And if you don't say something the right way or speak to them in the way
so
that
it's not a
based
game
on
for
their
us,
feeling.
But the election's the election.
But you know what? We talked about this last episode, and what you're saying is so true. It's like, there's so much screaming right now where, you know, what you're saying is like, fuck. Yeah, I understand why you'd be fearful of that. Like, you don't hear enough, and the internet doesn't help this, of like, here's what we're worried about.
Right.
You know, you just
Here's how this directly affects me. You just hear a lot of screaming. You hear, I hate him.
You hear you're a racist instead of like, here's what I'm just nervous about.
Right.
And I think like the podcasts are good things for that. Because it's like, you know, here's someone that you never would have listened to before.
Right.
Getting brought into your life right in your ear.
Totally.
You can't avoid this person now.
And I mean, the whole like racist thing, like, you know, you know, I read this thing I should post this shit on here. That made sense to me. And it says, not all Trump supporters are racist, but all of them decided that racism isn't a deal breaker.
Mm.
So instead of just yelling, screaming that this guy's a racist, because all people aren't racist,
mm-hmm.
and which is what that says. But all of you guys heard him very clearly mm-hmm. make extremely inflammatory racist things. And you said, but I'm still voting for him.
Mm.
So that is very, very, very concerning that we don't care. You know what I mean? And I feel like, you know, I was arguing with a buddy of mine, happens to be Jewish. And I said, I hope that people are more sympathetic when people start making anti-Semitic remarks.
Yeah.
Because it's coming. Steve Bannon is no fan of you and your peeps.
Yeah, I've been reading.
Just so you know, J Trey. so you know, brother.
I've been reading some of his quotes, and it's like.
He has no, that they have no love for y'all either. So I hope that as a group,
like
we are
circumcised
more.
Circumcised brother.
As a group, I hope we're more sympathetic when they start ringing that when they start using liberal media, because they're going to go down the Jewish path. It's coming too. I hope that people are more sympathetic. Just like I wish they would be more sympathetic to my plight, to Latinos' plight, but it didn't happen.
I think
white people were like, we don't give a shit.
That Jewish road is
hairy.
We
can't help you.
Too.
What's that?
That Jewish road is hairy.
it's a hairy road.
A furry, hairy road. I know it well.
It's going to need some of those razors.
Yeah.
Some of those razors.
Harry's razors.
Need some Harry's razors.
It is going to be,
get your Harry's razors.
It's, you know what? I think we're on the precipice of a time that we've never dealt with before. So that is always going to be scary.
I hate to say this, but I think a lot of good sometimes comes from these bad things. I mean, take, for example, without George W., we wouldn't have had a Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
It took bottoming out for people to say, hey, give the black guy a shot because we're in bad shape. So I think that this will galvanize young people.
Yeah.
I think it'll galvanize a lot of people who just couldn't get. And I think Hillary Clinton was a perfect storm.
Yeah.
She was someone that people just could not wrap their heads around. And you had another guy on the other side that was charged up. She took that last punch from Comey that I think changed the trajectory of the race, and she didn't have a counterpunch.
Mm.
How could you be in this business for 30 years and not visit Wisconsin ever since the convention and lose a state? That means you weren't ready for prime time.
Yeah.
So part of that is your fault. It's not totally racist. You weren't prepared.
And I think it's a lot of like, you know, I think a lot of people are looking in the mirror, which is like, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
I think that's more necessary now than ever. And it's like, you know, the one thing when I went to China, the one thing that I realized, it was humbling because you don't have that phone in your pocket.
Mm.
You couldn't Google answers. You couldn't Google maps. You couldn't. And it's really a humbling experience to lose your phone. I feel like we're all like 10% cockier than we would have been 10 years ago just because you have God in your pocket. So it's like any time right now in the internet age where your phone is like sitting there giving you all the answers that someone could be like, oh, maybe I was wrong.
Yeah.
Is a good thing. And I think, you know, I just hope everyone's doing that, you know, and that's the thing. So, but, you know, it's scary.
I think people underestimate the hell that is coming their way, but they'll see and then they'll say, God, that was a, I don't think that people realize like the acumen of people that sit in that chair.
I don't think he realized
and,
it.
And he doesn't have it.
Yeah, it
he
doesn't
have it.
We'll see.
I don't think that guy is in any, from not, there's not one thing I saw in 18 months, not one interview, not one business deal he did that hinted to me that this guy had any of the heft. What he had was an electorate that was ready to say, tell those other people to suck it.
Fuck the system.
Yeah.
Fuck the system. And you know,
that's what he ran on, and it worked.
And the thing is about it, as a guy who is a like where I lean more fuck the system than keep things in status quo.
Yeah.
Now you look at who he's surrounding himself with, and you're like, I've seen these names before. What the fuck?
Right.
Yo, I thought this was the system guy.
The other, they're all system guys and horrible people.
A little bit.
I mean, the other thing too, man, is it's one thing, right, to run on. It's almost like when they were talking about the terrorists on Jon Stewart's show, and he was saying, you know, people don't realize how long it took to build those buildings. So people don't realize like how long it took to bring this economy back to where it wasn't about to crash the world economy. It's one thing, man, to run around the country and say, she's not shit, lock her up, this, that, the other. It's another thing to actually have to build something.
Yeah.
It takes just a few seconds to tear something down. Yeah. But now when somebody says, okay, well, here's the blocks. Now you build something.
What's next?
Yeah. What you got?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's one thing to say, sit there in the stands and say, this fucking team sucks. This team sucks. It's another thing when they throw you the ball and say, okay, lead us to the promised land.
That's why we sit on this J-Train podcast just throwing out advice out of our ass, and we let them...
let them sift through it.
Let them fucking work through that shit.
Well, and these are the people, you know, and that's the thing. Like, you brought up Bannon and whatever. He's a guy that considers himself a Leninist. I mean, he is not for the state. He's more than happy to just let shit burn. Yeah. He's that type of guy.
It burn to the ground.
Yeah. I don't think he's coming to my Passover dinner. Laster, John, thank you for coming on.
This was fucking great.
So good to see you. He was funny on Instagram. Go follow him. So funny, so great. Great guy, super awesome. Thank you for coming on. That was fantastic. Man Samp, thank you for bringing the news.
Thanks, dude. This was a good one.
At Man Samp on Twitter and Instagram, Mandatory Samson Podcast, every Friday here on the network. I'm Jared Fried. We are here every Tuesday and Friday. Do me a favor. Tell a friend. This is one of those episodes to share. So fantastic, so funny. Go push it to someone that you doesn't know about it or hasn't heard about
it. Tell them to listen to Jared Fried.
Yes, Jared Fried. Papa JT.
Papa JT,
bitch. J-Train 56 on all platforms. We'll be back next episode. Boom.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. And find all of our shows at standuplabs.nyc.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Boom!